Philippians 2, verses 12 through 18 is our passage for today. And we're going to take a look at some interesting things here, but it comes down to verse 18. Let's read that once again. It says, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Here, there is some cause in this chapter. We're going to learn about it today. But he comes down, he's talking about that cause, and then he says, "You joy and rejoice in that same cause as I do." In that same cause. Who can ever forget the account of David and Goliath? I know as a kid when I heard that story, it just intrigued me. And it is true that even today, the unsaved world, people who don't even know the Lord, they still know about David and Goliath. Sometimes the secular news media will report an election and someone who's not supposed to win wins the election. And they say, "David defeated Goliath." Or some sports team that's not supposed to win, they knock off this team that's incredible. And what do they say? "David defeated a Goliath." And things like that happen sometimes in sports. And it's pretty interesting. But you know, everyone knows about David and Goliath. And it's a great story. Here's this young boy, probably a teenager, probably 14, 15 years old, something like that. And he gets down there and there's this battle in array. And it looks like there's going to be a battle. And the Philistine, the giant, comes out. And David says, "This isn't right. He's mocking God. I'm going to do something about this." And he starts saying that. And finally he gets an audience with King Saul. And he gets sent out to fight this battle. I'm surprised King Saul let him go, you know. That could be child abuse or something. But King Saul lets him go out there. And he's going to fight this battle against Goliath. And he picks up his stones and one little stone goes in. I remember my kids growing up, especially my oldest one, the tallest one that sang there. When he was a little kid, "What do you want to do, Jonathan?" "Let's play David and Goliath." "Okay, who do you want to be?" He always wanted to be David, you know. So I had to take the hit, you know, and fall to the ground, you know. And I guess I was bigger than him anyway, so it fit. But just once or twice I would have liked to have been David, you know. But anyway, a lot of fun growing up with the story of David and Goliath. And it's not just a story. It really happened. But one of the things that David said when in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, in verse 29, when David volunteered to fight the giant, he said, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" He said, Goliath is challenging our God. He's mocking not only us, but he's mocking our God. And he said, that can't be happening. We have a cause to fight for. Come on, guys, we've got a cause. Doesn't anybody want to fight this giant? I'll fight him. Because there's a cause. Folks, we have a cause. And in verse 18, it says, "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." Verses 12 through 18 are one section of Scripture that tells of the unity that God's people had around the cause. Now, there's other places in the Bible you can read about it, but especially here, the Holy Spirit is using the Apostle Paul to pen these words, and he says, listen, I'm rejoicing in some certain things about the cause, and I want you to rejoice in the same cause also. Let's look back and see what the cause was. In verse 12, he tells them that they had obeyed, they had done the things they were supposed to do, not only when the preacher was there, but even when the preacher wasn't around, they were still obeying, it says in verse 12. Verse 13, he says, it's God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Aren't you glad that God's still at work in your life? You know, none of us are where we should be. None of us have arrived. It's not like, here I am, super Christian. See the S right there? No. Okay, none of us have arrived. We're growing Christians. Let me throw this out to you from previous weeks. What's our life goal now? Yes, to be like Christ, okay? Our life goal is to be like Christ. And so we grow and we take those steps one step at a time. Some have been growing longer than others. Some are further down the path. But we all better be growing. Nobody stagnant. Nobody backsliding. But all growing to what the Lord Jesus wants. That's our goal. Well, God's at work in verse 13. in our lives to will and to do of His good pleasure. You know, if somebody does something that's not quite right, maybe they don't treat you quite right in the church, don't get mad. Just realize, hey, God's not finished with them yet. God's not finished with me yet. He's at work to will and to do of His good pleasure. And right now, we've got great unity at Bethel Baptist Church, but the devil would love to drive a wedge into that. So don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Just give people room and say, well, they're still growing. God's not finished with them yet. And let's love one another. Well, then we come down to verse 14. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And then it continues, and I think this is the main thrust of the passage. And the way I read it, I've read it over and over again, I think this is the purpose, or this is the cause. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You know what the cause is? It's holding forth the word of life. It's taking this word and saying, hey, this needs to be held forth in our world today. Unsaved people need to hear what this book says. Christians need to hear what this book says. I'm going to hold forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. How are we doing on the cause? The cause in the passage is to hold forth that word. Now, we've talked about that before. I think everybody knows that. I think you realize, you know, we're not just here to work our jobs and go home, put our head on our pillow, get up the next day, go back to work. No, God has got a purpose for our lives. It's to hold forth the word of life. And yes, you go off to work every day to support your family, and you need to. But that work is not who you are. If you're a Christian and you're a disciple of Christ and you're following Him, then you're a servant of the Lord and you're holding forth the word of life. You say, well, I've done my time at work. I'm retired. I just sit at home. You know what? You don't just sit at home retired. You're a servant of God. It's not time to, when it comes to the Lord's work, it's not time to retire. It's time to retread. Okay? Just get some new treads on there. Keep going for a little. You might be retired from your occupation. But you can still serve God. You could still work for Him. You could use what energy you have for His cause. Maybe you don't have much energy and you're stuck at home. You could be one of the prayer warriors at Bethel Baptist Church. You can help us to hold forth the word of life. And that's what we're all about, holding forth the word of life. What I want you to see today is that when it comes to this cause, we should joy in the cause. So far this morning, the things I've told you are pretty much review. But now I want us to see this. We should joy in the cause. Look down again in verse 16. It says, holding forth the word of life, that I may, what's the next word? Rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and what's the next word? Joy, and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Five times in this short passage, we see that we're supposed to joy in the cause. We're supposed to joy in the cause. God only would have to say it one time, but He says it five times. Joy in the cause. We ought to be excited about holding forth the word of life. We ought to say, man, this is great. God, you've given me a purpose to live. You've given me a reason to go to work every day. You've given me a reason to get up in the morning. You've given me a reason to get proper rest at night, because tomorrow I've got to hold forth the word of life. You've given me a cause, and I'm going to be joyful in it. I'm going to be excited about the cause, holding forth the word of life. Folks, we ought to be excited about the things of the Lord. You know, a little while back, I called up one of you guys and said, hey, or I talked to some of you guys, I said, hey, nothing's going on tonight. Do you want to go hear this preacher? He's preaching over another church. Do you want to go hear this preacher? And we'll have a lot of fun. Some of you are thinking, fun? Go hear a preacher? Wait a second, is that fun? Well, if you take joy in the things of God, it can be. Yeah. Now, obviously, some preachers are boring. I'm trying to keep you all awake today. Some preachers are not as interesting as others. But I'll tell you what. You, as a Christian, we can take joy in the things that we decide to enjoy. My boys set me straight the other day. I was talking about this with you folks, and I said, yeah, you know, we could go to the baseball game, Tropicana Field, and sit out in the hot blazing sun and say we're enjoying it. And when I got home, they said, hey, Dad, Tropicana Field has a roof over it, so they're not in the hot blazing sun. Oh, okay. I was thinking of up where Detroit, you know, where we were at Comerica Park up there. And it gets hot. Actually, you know, it's as hot right now in Michigan as it is in Florida, and humid. And they're having an incredible week up there with weather. And they're having to watch baseball outside and sit in the hot sun. And you know what? They go and they enjoy it. Because, you know, we decide pretty much what we're going to enjoy. If I said, how many like to go out and sit in the hot sun for 3 hours and roast? You know, you wouldn't want to. I say, well, we're going to watch a baseball game. Oh, okay. Then it's different. Because we enjoy what we decide to enjoy. Our Bible, we should take joy in the cause. We ought to be excited about it. Now, some days you read your Bible and things don't leap off the page. But if you've got the indwelling Holy Spirit, you can ask Him. You could say, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And some days things will leap off the page. And some days you ought to be excited about it. Oh, some days you read your Bible because it's right to read it. And that's fine. That's good. You're obeying what God told you to do. But some days there ought to be excitement. There ought to be joy. It's like, I'm joying in the cause. This is great, God. You've given me words from You. I can hear from heaven today. What do You got to say to me, Lord? And we can joy in the cause. We can joy in the cause when it comes to prayer meeting. And especially we can joy in the cause when it comes to holding forth the Word in what we call soul winning. You know, some people say, well, soul winning, that's kind of old-fashioned. Wait a minute, the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. If it's good enough for the Bible, it's a good enough term for me, okay? So we need to be out telling people how to be saved. That's why God left us here, to hold forth the Word of life. Let's get excited about the cause. Let's get excited about it. It doesn't have to be drudgery. Oh, I know. I feel so convicted because I didn't tell anybody about the Lord this week, and I guess I better tell somebody this coming week. It doesn't have to be that way. He wants us to joy in the cause. He wants us to say, Lord, this is great. I've got the greatest news in the world. Sometimes when I'm going up to somebody's house, I'll say to myself, I don't know who you are in this house, but this could be the greatest day of your life because I'm going to tell them about Jesus and how to be saved. Now, one time I had it this past week, we had some guy say, I'm not interested. No, 2 weeks ago. I'm not interested. He didn't even know what I was there for. I knocked on the door, he opened the door. I'm not interested. And as I was leaving, I said, you know, I should have thought of something. I should have said, well, I'll just go to the next person on the list for the $1 million sweepstakes winner and see if he's interested then, you know. But anyway, he wasn't interested in anything, no matter what it was. He wasn't interested. Sometimes that happens. But when you're going up to this house, you think, you know, this could be the greatest day in this person's life. They could find out how to know for sure they're on their way to heaven. They could receive Christ as their Savior. They could have peace in their heart. They could have their life transformed. They could miss hell for all eternity and land in heaven. This could be the greatest day of their life. And we can be excited about serving the Lord and being in His cause. When somebody gets saved in a service, there ought to be some amens. There ought to be some excitement in here. I know we're not, you know, Baptist-costals. We're not going to shout too much. But hey, that's okay to get excited about the things of the Lord. If it's genuine and if it's real, we ought to be excited when somebody gets saved. It's some great things that can be done. We should joy in the cause. Second thing I want you to see, joying in the cause produces eternal results. Joying in the cause produces eternal results. Look again at verse 16. He says we ought to be holding forth the word of life. Why? That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. All right, when is the day of Christ? Does anybody know what the day of Christ is? Okay, when He returns to take us to heaven to be with Him. And it's a true thing. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This is one aspect of the day of Christ. And here in verse 16 he says, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Apparently it's possible to run the race of the Christian life, to walk through your Christian life, and when the Lord comes again and takes us to be with him, or when you die and go to be with him, to look back and say, I labored in vain. I ran in vain. He says, I don't want that to happen. I don't want to look back on my life and say, I wasted it. Oh, I made a lot of money. I got a nice house or a boat or something, but I wasted my life. He said, I don't want that. I don't want to run or labor in vain. And he said, the way that we cannot labor in vain is if we hold forth the word of life. If we get excited about the cause. If we joy in the cause. Joying in the cause produces eternal results. Eternal rewards. In what way? Well, first of all, the eternal results that you're going to see because people get saved. Wouldn't it be great to see all of your loved ones in heaven with you someday? Wouldn't it be great to see your neighbors in heaven? Say, not mine, he's cantankerous. Well, wait a minute, if he got saved, he wouldn't be cantankerous anymore, all right? The Lord changes people from the inside out. You could try to get him to be uncantankerous, it won't work until he gets saved, right? But wouldn't it be great to see these people in heaven? The people that you work with, people that you spend time with on a daily basis, wouldn't it be great to see them in heaven? I'll rejoice in the day of Christ that we've not run in vain if we'll hold forth the word of life. If we'll get excited about the cause, if we'll joy in the cause. Not only that eternal reward, but also our own eternal rewards. Paul said about the Christians that he led to the Lord in Thessalonica, he said, ye are our glory and joy and crown of rejoicing. He said, when I get to heaven, you guys are going to be my crown. You guys who got saved, you're my crown of rejoicing. You're going to be my rewards up in heaven. You people who got saved because I was able to tell you. And he said, that's why I'm holding forth the word of life. Folks, if we'll joy in the cause, if we'll get excited about the cause, if we'll take joy in it, we'll rejoice in the cause, then that'll produce eternal results. Third thing to see today, joying in the cause motivates us. Maybe you're sitting out there and you're saying, well, yeah, Pastor Kneeler, I know I should get involved in the cause. I should hold forth the word of life. But I'm just not motivated to do it. Okay, what's missing is you're not joying in the cause. You're not rejoicing in the cause. Because joying in the cause motivates us. Look in this passage. Let's see what it motivates us to. First of all, in verse 15, it motivates us to blamelessness. Blamelessness. Verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Apparently, these people were getting to the point where they could be blameless, where nobody could point the finger and say, well, he says he's a Christian, but he does that. Or he said he's a Christian, but he did this to me. Or he did me dirty, or ripped me off in his business. No, these people said, we want to be blameless. Blamelessness involves sometimes not doing things that in and of themselves wouldn't be wrong and sinful, but people could get the wrong idea. They could blame me. They could point the finger at me and say, hey, you did that. No, I didn't. You're misunderstanding. Well, I shouldn't have to say that. I should just not do those things that are not blameless. So blamelessness is a tough thing. Did you ever ask yourself, why would anybody want to live so carefully? Why would anybody want to be so careful that they're not doing anything that somebody could point to? Why can't we just go through, I mean, as long as I don't, you're talking about things that maybe aren't really wrong, but people think that they could be wrong. Why would I worry about that? Why can't, for the cause, for the cause. You see, when I joy in the cause, it motivates me to check my life and say, Lord, the most joyful thing is when I'm used in your cause. When I see somebody come to Christ and be saved, or when I see a Christian get encouraged and start following the Lord better than he did before, Lord, that's the most exciting thing, when you use us in the cause. So if there's something that somebody could point the finger at, if I'm joining in the cause, it motivates me toward blamelessness. It says, okay, it's worth it to take the high road. It's worth it to say, well, you know, is there really something wrong with this? Well, let's take the high road, because we want to be blameless, without rebuke. Nothing that somebody can come and say, hey, you shouldn't have done that. No, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We're in the midst of a nation like that, aren't we? Our world's going downhill. Even the churches today, even a lot of churches are getting more and more worldly, adopting worldly music and worldly standards, and even having dances at the church and things like that. It's like, what is going on here? Hey, we're in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but we're supposed to shine as lights. And that's the second thing that it motivates us to do. Joining in the cause motivates us to be blameless. Secondly, it motivates us to shine as lights in the world. To shine as lights in the world. You know, witnessing for Christ doesn't have to be an intimidating thing if we join in the cause. Let's think back to David and Goliath. I told you about him on purpose. He said, is there not a cause? But you know, David wasn't intimidated. All the other men of Israel were intimidated by Goliath. They're like, no way. We can't go out and fight him. David wasn't intimidated. 1 Samuel 17:24 says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Why wasn't David intimidated? Because he saw the cause. He was joying and rejoicing in the cause. This is a great day. All we have to do is knock off the one Philistine, and then all the rest of them surrender. This is a great opportunity. He was joying in the cause. He was excited about what God was going to do. The disciples had time spent with Jesus is what turned the disciples from timid old fishermen to bold lights in their world. Acts 4:13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You see, they were bold because they had been with Jesus. And folks, if we'll take time with Jesus, if we'll take time with our Bibles and in prayer, then God will give us that boldness and we'll be able to joy in the cause, and we won't be so intimidated anymore to talk to people. Won't be so intimidated to give out a gospel tract. Sometimes the intimidation comes from God's people. In 1 Samuel 17:28, David, he wasn't intimidated by the Philistine. Well, then along comes his oldest brother, Eliab. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down to see the battle. You see, Eliab says, David, I know why you came down here. You just came down here to see the battle. Little young teenage boy, you just came down here to see the battle. Who'd you leave those sheep with that you're supposed to be watching? And he belittles David. He intimidates him. And David's saying, come on, somebody ought to be fighting Goliath. Is there not a cause? And he says, come on, David, you just came down here to see the battle. You shouldn't even be down here. Sometimes the intimidation comes from God's own people. Some people say, well, you know, soul winning just doesn't work nowadays. It's too old-fashioned. You know, it doesn't work. Well, tell that to Sal. He's here today because we knocked on his door. He was already saved, but he's here today. Tell that to Carlos. Tell that to Canaan. Tell that to Donnie, guys who trusted the Lord as Savior because we went to their house. Tell that to Rayshon, who trusted Christ as his Savior before he moved to California. What joy it is to see someone trust Christ as a result of our soul-winning endeavors. And the Bible says, he that soweth sparingly will reap sparingly, but he that soweth bountifully will reap bountifully. And the more we witness, the more we hold forth the word of life, the more we, as it says, shine as lights in this world, then the more people we're going to see come to the light and come to Christ, and God will use us. How do we get over that intimidation? Joy in the cause. Joy in the cause. Get excited about it. Say, God can use me. Little old shy me. God can use me. He used those fishermen. God can use me. My life can count for eternity. Lastly today, joying in the cause motivates us to sacrifice. Look down in Philippians 2 again in verse 17. Paul's talking to these Christians at Philippi and he says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." He said, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith. When you study out this verse, you'll learn as I did that this word offered is the same word as pouring out an offering to the Lord. In the Old Testament, they had those drink offerings and they would pour them out to the Lord. Now, some of the offerings that were given in the Old Testament, part of it was for the priest to eat. You know, they'd offer an animal, and part of it was to feed the priest, and the rest was burned as an offering to God. But the drink offering was poured out totally to God. The priest didn't get any of that. And Paul says, if I be offered, if my life gets poured out in sacrifice, poured out and used up so that it's gone, in sacrifice for your faith, I'm going to joy and rejoice. Poured out as a libation, as an offering. Sometimes we feel like that as Christians. We think, well, man, these people are taking advantage of us. I'm getting poor. No, wait a minute. Paul said, because I'm joying in the cause, I'm motivated to sacrifice. If I'm poured out, if my life ends, Paul was in prison when he wrote this. Matter of fact, we believe that this was his last stay in prison and he was executed. Yet over and over again in Philippians, he talks about joy. Most commentators say the theme of the whole book of Philippians is joy. And we read it here. He's joying in the cause. And he said, if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He said, if I die so that you guys can have faith, so you could be saved, so you could follow Christ, I'm going to joy. I'm going to rejoice. It's worth it. Joying in the cause motivates us to sacrifice. And that's what we need. You know, it's hard to hold forth the word of life, to be involved in the cause. But one of the things that helps us to do it is when we joy in the cause, then we're willing to sacrifice. You know, some of you came out yesterday and gave up a lot of sweat to go out and witness for the Lord yesterday. It was a hot day yesterday. Okay? But you know what motivates you to sacrifice? Joying in the cause. Joying in the cause. Some of you spend time on your knees praying for me, for my family, for others in Bethel Baptist Church. And what causes you to sacrifice that time? And the concentration, that's a prayer is hard work. What causes you to sacrifice for the cause? It's when you joy in the cause. Don't let the Christian life be a drudgery. God didn't intend it to be, oh yeah, I got to read my Bible, I got to go to church. No, God wants us to joy in the cause. He wants us to joy and rejoice. And even when it means sacrifice, if we're joying in the cause, that will motivate us to give that sacrifice. When David went to fight Goliath, he risked everything. You can't tell me that it didn't cross David's mind thinking, you know, here I am, this little guy. I believe God can do it. That's why I'm going. As he's picking up those stones, he may have thought, what am I doing out here? What did I just volunteer to do? But God wants me to. I know he does. And so he went in faith. But I'm telling you, there was a temptation, I'm sure. Goliath, when he said, I'm going to feed you to the birds, boy. He probably thought, no, you're not. The Lord's going to help me. But there's probably some temptation there. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to give in to the temptation. And by the way, courage doesn't mean you're never afraid. Courage means you obey and you do what God wants you to do even though you are afraid. That's what real courage is. And so David, he musters up that courage. He says, Lord, I'm trusting you. I know he's offending you, Lord. This is for your cause. Is there not a cause? And he picks up those stones, and the Bible says he runs to meet the giant. He ran. He didn't just kind of tiptoe up there fearfully. He ran to meet the giant. But I'm sure there was temptation. and the thought, I could be killed today. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said to the king, we're not going to bow, and if you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace, throw us in, and we believe our God can deliver us. And then they said, but if not, we're still not going to bow. And the reality hits that, yes, David could have been killed by Goliath if God wasn't in it, or if God had a purpose for his death. Yes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could have burned up in the fiery furnace if God wanted that, and their sacrifice of life would have done more for the good of God's cause. And that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. He ended up giving his life. It's not in the Bible, but history tells us that he was beheaded by Caesar, and he gave up his life for the cause. But you know, because he did, we have so much more today in the Bible. And God used him in a powerful way through his life, and God continues to use Paul in his death right now to motivate us to get behind the cause, to joy in the cause, to say, God, I want my life to count for you. I don't want to get to the end and look back and say, what did I do for God? Just about nothing. David risked all in the cause. Of course, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for the cause. If you've come today and you have not received Christ as your Savior, will you realize today that Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice? He gave his life. He gave his blood. Now, other people have sacrificed their life and their blood, but it wasn't a life like his, a sinless life. It wasn't blood like his, blood that belonged to the Son of God, untainted by the sinful human nature passed on through Adam, because he was born of a virgin. And when he shed his blood, he shed the most precious commodity in the universe. The Bible calls it in 1 Peter, the precious blood of Christ. And he shed it for your salvation and for mine. If you've come today and you've not put all your trust in Christ and his shed blood for your soul's salvation, you can do that today. And if you've not done that, then you're not on your way to heaven. Because the Bible says there's no other salvation, other name in heaven whereby we must be saved, only by the name of Jesus Christ. If you're trusting Christ plus your baptism, or Christ plus your good works, or Christ plus your membership, then you're not trusting Christ alone. Come to the point where you say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. I put all my trust in you for my soul's salvation. If you're not sure you've ever done that, you could do that today. You could receive Christ as your Savior today and be sure you're on your way to heaven. It would be a wonderful thing. And then you'd have the cause. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. So today, as we look at our lives, Bethel Baptist Church, if blamelessness is lacking, where there's some things that people could point the finger at, the remedy is to joy in the cause. Joy in the cause. Say, I'm going to rejoice in the purpose you've given me to live. If our shining as lights in this world is not really working out very well, our light is hid under a bushel, or it's getting dim, and we're not witnessing and telling people like we should, and we're intimidated by this world or by other Christians, joy in the cause. Make your way to the front today and say, Lord, give me that joy. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Let me joy in the cause. Let me get excited about it again. Lord, give me that joy so I can shine. And then if sacrificing is lacking, if you say, well, I'd like to serve God, but I just don't have time, or I'd like to do some things for the Lord, but I'm just too busy, say, okay, Lord, I've got a joy in the cause, so I'm willing to sacrifice. In just a few minutes, we'll have our time of invitation. We'll stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. And when we do, if the Lord's worked in your heart, just come down front row, or up here to the platform and just say, God, I got a joy in your cause. Give me the joy back, Lord. Get me excited again. Get me fired up again. I don't want to get to the end of my life and realize I wasted it, that I ran in vain. Lord, let me joy in the cause and see what God does to transform our thinking and then our living. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.